All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's that time. 1 o'clock, that means the best damn show on Houston radio is ready to go. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects.
The best damn sports show... Oh, no, that was already taken.
Yeah, I didn't go that far. I just said the best damn show.
On...
Why limit us?
The best show on... The best sports talk radio show on the radio, on FM, at 1 o'clock, that's not... That's above 97 on the dial.
Do you want to limit us like
that? Is that... I don't know.
Okay.
Because I was going to say just on FM, but then I forget we have Sports Map now.
I was going to say, don't sell us short.
And they might be beating us. I don't know.
Come on.
Wow. Don't beat up on our siblings.
Oh, Patrick started it from the time he walked in. He was just...
What did he say to you? Did he hurt your feelings?
No, he got mad because I didn't like stop and have a full-blown conversation with him. Because
well, that's usually what you do. Why? I've noticed that when people walk by and don't acknowledge us, you're like, oh, so we're just, you can't see us right now?
You are guilty of that.
You don't see us here?
But that's fine. Usually he does it like to joke around. Sometimes it's kind of serious.
I constantly have a plan. I'm marketing and branding us every day as a likable show. And likable people. And Barry poo-poos on that.
I poo-poo on
us
being likable.
Stuff, man?
I don't know. I got to be honest. This is the first time, this is the first day since we started this show over a year ago that I just really don't want to be here today.
Yeah, you didn't look like you wanted to be in the meeting.
I'm like, oh, man. I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock with my wife, and I got a bunch of stuff done, and then I took a nap and had to decide if I was going to use my first sick day. I was like, nah, I can't do that to my boys. I can't just leave y'all high and dry like that.
What, lie?
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to sleep. This is the kind of weather, this is the kind of day where you just get under the covers and you don't wake up until tomorrow when it's sunny and 70.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked because I don't really keep up with the news, and I walked out and it was just raining.
Yeah.
I was going to try and let my dog out, and it just looked at me like
nah. I went back to bed at 10 o'clock this morning. No, I'm sorry, 9:30, and I took a nap until 11.
Must be nice.
I don't have kids either, and I don't even do that.
Yeah. And I
don't
just...
need kids to have that. The last 2 days, Lisa woke up and was trying... She has to leave the house at 3 a.m. She couldn't... The first day, she couldn't find her keys. So what does she do? She wakes me up. And we find out that they're sitting right in the middle of the coffee table in the living room.
Oh, my God.
And then this morning, it was... Lisa. She couldn't find her phone, and I needed to call it.
And so she couldn't just get your phone and call it? You had to wake up and call it?
And ironically, my phone is already in the kitchen on the charger.
She couldn't have used the home phone to call it?
That also would have been an alternative.
Because
I assume yours is locked.
Like if I tried to open your phone right now, you have a code on it where I can't get into it, right?
Right.
Okay, so then that makes sense if she was going to use your phone. But if you have a home phone, she could have just called her own phone
It's too easy, Barry.
Find my iPhone. I bet she has an iPhone, doesn't she?
Yep.
You can turn a little beep on and it'll find it.
You go to iCloud.com.
Not as gratifying as being able to take it out on me that she can't find something like her keys or her phone.
Wow.
Made for a special morning because I just got back to bed laying there going, now this is going to be fun.
I bet you were just thrilled with her. Uh-huh. Is this going to affect her Valentine's gift?
Uh-uh.
No?
No.
What are you getting her?
It doesn't matter. Because she's already, now that we've been married 3 years, she's already clarified flowers are a waste. And they're going to die, and so we don't need to spend the money. She sees candy.
Uh-huh.
She loves sees candy. She loves the chocolates. So,
okay.
But so we'll probably work that into the mix.
I'm definitely doing the flowers and the candy. Mm-hmm. My wife also wants, and I told her, I'm like, look, I just had the weekend. It was fruitful. We got a little extra this time. Because of the headlining weekend, what do you want for Valentine's? I'm going to get you something nice. You know what she sends me? A $30 blanket from Target. That's what I get. That's what I get. This is what I want. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's simple. You shouldn't be complaining right now.
I know. I shouldn't.
I'd be all over that.
I shouldn't, but I want to get her something nice.
When it's too difficult, you want it to be easier. When it's too easy, you want it to be more difficult.
That's probably true. You're probably correct. But I was like, this is it. This is I wanted you to think of something good for Valentine's, and you want me to get you a fuzzy blanket. A $30.
Done. I'll give you the fancy kind that's $45 or whatever. I wouldn't have cared.
I was like, babe, what else? Just the blanket. What do you want? I was like, I want you to come up with something else. What are you talking about?
What do you want?
I don't know. I'll probably just ask for some like jeans or something. I don't know.
Stretchy jeans?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Those are the best.
The white kinds? White stretchy jeans?
I already have white stretchy jeans. Why would I want some more?
Looking for some with a stripe on
it. I've got
side.
White, brown, black, and like four pairs of just regular denim blue jeans that are stretchy. I've got like five or six pair.
Okay.
And the greatest invention in the world was stretchy jeans. Because you know, like right now, these jeans were tight when I put them on. And then I got here in 8, and now it hurts.
Jeez.
And when you don't have that with stretchy jeans,
yeah,
you
I've
eat
got
as
a couple
much
pairs,
as you
so
want.
A couple. I do. I know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go home and have that impression from the jeans like I will today. I'll actually have that all the whole. It's going to be ugly. You know what I'm talking about, Joel. You get that little
understand.
Waistband impression thing.
But I don't understand. Like, you go on this healthy kick up through the shows.
Yeah.
And now you're just kind of throwing it away.
I didn't eat bad. You saw what I had. I had a healthy gourmet meal. I had the jambalaya.
Yeah.
I had the jambalaya. Yeah. I ate bad yesterday, and that was it. And I kind of ate bad on Sunday. But then I was like, I wanted to go get something bad today, but I was like, nope, I got to get back on my diet. I'm part of the weight loss challenge with the usual suspects, sponsored by C4, Healthy Gourmet, Houston Family Nutrition. Well, and you like that?
Yeah.
But I tried to do good. But then tomorrow I'll eat bad because I'm going to make steaks.
Ooh.
I'm going to boil some steaks.
Boil them again.
Yeah.
AJ will have plenty to say, I'm
yes,
sure.
I'm sure he will.
Which is shocking.
Yeah, but I don't know what should I ask for Valentine's? Do you guys have any ideas? Because I don't know. I'll just give me a pair of jeans or something. Or a shirt.
I never asked for it.
I thought sex was pretty standard.
I mean,
that goes with the territory.
Yeah, I'm not asking for that.
I figured you have to put in a request for that.
No, you shouldn't have to request that. If you do, then you need to do some therapy for Valentine's Day. Probably.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. And again, when you have a kid and you have a family, you don't think about yourself anymore. It used to be, I'd be like, well, I want this, and this would be great, and maybe that. Now I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, I'd rather just buy her something and not make it about me, but I don't know. I'm curious though, like, have you ever gotten anything weird or ended up getting somebody something that they hated for Valentine's?
I don't think so.
I think one year I got my ex-wife, if I recall, I got her a dustbuster.
Oh wow. That's romantic.
Was she appreciative of the appreciative?
It's what she wanted.
Did she tell you can use that on your thing? Because that's about as far as you close as you're getting to
but
it.
But I thought it was what she wanted, but apparently it wasn't. She wanted one, but not that bad where she would have got it for Valentine's. Like she kept telling me leading up to it, I really need to get a dustbuster. And I was like, so my stupid self was thinking, I know. She's dropping hints. She wants a dustbuster for Valentine's
Day. Oh, my God.
Should have made it a wet vac because that's what it would be soaking up.
Probably.
Did you get her the cheap dustbuster? Did you get like a premium
I got, like,
the dirt devil?
The dirt devil. Yeah, I mean, just the dirt devil. Yeah.
Maybe she wasn't happy with the model. I'm just trying to, figure this out.
Maybe she just wasn't happy with the husband. That's why she's mad.
There might be something there to that. And thus the dress shoes were taken back.
So you never got anybody anything that you were like, ugh.
I don't think so. I think because you stick to the standard stuff that works,
Right.
Depending on where
flowers,
you are in
candy,
each individual relationship.
Jewelry.
Yeah.
Jewelry.
Or undies, lingerie.
I know we have a bunch of women listeners. I want to hear what the worst thing they got was. I want to know. Some woman has to have gotten something
terrible.
I can tell
you this, if Warren Sapp gave it, you can know pretty much
yeah,
what road
true.
He went down.
But like Lauren Pope, I wonder what's the worst thing that Aaron got Lauren for Valentine's Day. Or that she's gotten ever. Or Mandy.
A drill.
Or Tracy. Tracy's fancy though.
She's
ain't nobody
fancy
going cheap on Tracy.
No, uh-uh.
They know better.
Right.
But I bet you there's some women that got some pretty stupid stuff like a dustbuster. And Trace I'd be willing to bet you.
Trace ain't afraid to brag either. She's going to
No, she'll show you when she gets something fancy. Yeah. She knows.
No doubt. All right, we're just getting started on the show, so we can do a lot of things today. Always, as your participation makes the show go, we give you the phone number, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call, you can text, or if you have your druthers, you can go to Twitter and you can send us a tweet. It's at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Busy show for you today, as Astros pitchers and catchers have reported. So, a little extra treat before your Valentine's Day. Jake Kaplan will be here at 1:30 of The Athletic Houston, as he will be the beat writer covering your Houston Astros once again. And he will be talking about all things Astros as we prepare for the start of pitchers and catchers, and spring training is upon us. That and a whole lot more coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. But if you do, you're a fool, because I do to the death.
Trying to step to make you take your last breath. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. One segment more of us before we get into baseball with Jake Kaplan. If you have questions that are crossing your mind now as you think about it before he comes on the airwaves, please hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up with a text message, and we'll see if we take a call or two when Jake is on. But normally we get down to business real quick about information we need to know about your world champs before they start hitting the toeing the rubber and hitting the practice fields in West Palm.
I was looking up free agents and who was still available.
I know one.
On the market, yeah?
Yeah, I know two, actually, but one in particular that's the biggest Arrieta. Dollar one. No, the big dollar one is J.D. Martinez.
Oh, yeah. But there's still some guys out there that haven't been picked up yet. Martinez is obviously one of them. Arrieta's another one.
They said Arrieta's narrowed it down to two teams?
Yeah, the Twins and the Brewers, yeah. I do believe, are the last two, yep. But Lackey's still out there. Jose Bautista. There's a ton of starting pitching still available. Ton of starting pitching. Jeremy Hellickson hasn't picked up with anybody yet that I've
Joey
seen.
Joey Bats.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I was like, you know, I'm looking at what are the Astros holes that they have? And I started, okay, well, let's look at left field. But then I thought, do you really want to take bats away from Marwin Gonzalez? Is that something you want to do?
Nah.
With a guy like maybe, I mean, if they go out and chase a Melky Cabrera, is that somebody you'd want to swap out? I don't think I would.
No.
I think I like having Marwin in the lineup every day. So if he's playing left field and then he's going to spell somebody on the infield, he's always going to have an at bat. So you can throw a Gattis out there or whatever,
like,
or Derek Fisher. And I don't.
I like the interchangeable parts that they have,
yeah.
You know, because you got between DH and first base.
Mariznick can move around.
Yeah, you've got Mariznick you can move around. You got Marwin you can move around. You've got Yuli who you can move around.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a lot of interchangeable parts. The one thing that I would say that they could still look at would be what we were talking about yesterday. Without giving up their top prospect, they could look at, depending on what Lou Croy's price tag is, or some help at catcher just simply because of the fact defensively they're lacking. And I get it from an at-bat perspective, and with the two guys combined, the two-headed monster that look identical anyway, between McCann and Gattis, you're going to get decent offensive numbers. But that's, you know, I know Max Stassi hates to hear that, but at the same time, I would look at the possibility of adding maybe a catcher. But other than that, I don't think that they need to do a whole lot.
Well, they're going to be three deep at catcher anyways because of Gattis. So Stassi? Yeah, Stassi would be the third guy.
Right.
So unless you plan on not using Evan Gattis anymore, then that's why that trade didn't make sense too,
right?
Because you've got two guys that are, you know, you can keep Gattis actively at bat the whole time and rest McCann, because you don't want McCann necessarily DHing if he's on a rest day, because he's old, he needs to rest.
He can't put those miles on his body anyway.
No, he can't. And so one of the things though that I think they could still use is a left-handed arm in the bullpen. They still could go out and get a lefty specialist.
But you don't believe in Tony Sipp?
No, not at all.
Because you know I don't.
And the other thing is there's still a guy like Greg Holland that's available. You want to shore up your bullpen? Greg Holland, you could probably get him for somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, $12 to $14 to $15 million for a year or two.
Insurance policy for Giles and everybody else.
I mean,
that's a good call.
He's 32. Trevor Rosenthal is out there as a closer who, hey, he didn't, you know, the last couple of years his numbers were down, but still, you want to add some quality depth at the back end of a bullpen. And like you said, insurance. Yeah.
And yet, MLB Network is out there talking today about how conceivably you can't see anybody but the Yankees winning the American League. Well, you show me that their starting pitching is going to be improved, and you show me that CeCe Sabathia can somehow turn it around, and obviously their bullpen is decent, and the lineup that isn't 1 through 4 or 1 through 5 can hit, and yeah, I think they can contend, but to say it's theirs to lose, basically, come on, man.
Yeah, that's a...
that's a stretch.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. They're loaded. Their rotation is a little bit... so are the Astros. When you look at top to bottom, with the addition of Gerrit Cole, I'd put that Astros rotation up against anybody, and I mean anybody, including the Washington Nationals.
Totally.
The Yankees. Anybody in the majors, I would put this Astros rotation, when healthy...
performing at their best. But I don't even put them in the same breath as the Astros. You said it. The Nationals are great. The Cubs are above average. But, you know, overall, you can't – look, you look up and down this lineup and everything that on this roster for the Astros and say, I feel pretty damn good. And you know, and for the short-term, long haul, this team is fine. And they don't have to go spending all the, you know, tens of millions of dollars the Yankees do. And because they don't have to, there's not holes to patch. There's not a whole lot to fix. And what they've had to address, for the most part, they've addressed. And you mentioned it. Holland would be great. They didn't go out and get a different closer. They're going to give Giles another go at it. But to have options again with versatility, it would help.
Yeah. And they've got, right now, they're sitting at 9th as far as payroll goals in the majors,
which is fantastic.
Yeah. So they've got $146 million tied up in payroll for the year.
Here's the thing. A perfect example. Do you think, after seeing what Darvish finally signed for, that was the kind of signing that they needed because they had been kicking the tires on him? I'm glad he went somewhere else.
Yeah, I am too. I don't think they needed. What was it? It was the
Cubs signed him for $160 million for like 6 years, I think. But regardless, it was ridiculous.
Six years, $160 million?
I'll look it up. But it was an ungodly amount of money.
I would have paid around 20 to 22 a year. For 3 or 4 years, but not.
Would you have given him that much, though?
You kind of have to. You kind of have to, yeah. I mean, he's one of those guys that, especially in this free agent market.
6 years, 126.
Okay, so about 20 a year. That's about right then. I mean, but I wouldn't have gone 6 years with him, but they may not have had a choice.
Man, that's a lot of miles on a guy that was already tipping pitches and wasn't quite what he was when he first broke in.
Yeah, he's 31 now. Problems. I would have tried to sign him to like a 4-year, $22 million deal. So I would have given him more per year, but backed off a couple of years and just see. Yeah. But, I mean, hey, you got to spend the money somewhere. And he was a good arm that was available.
Well, Scott Boras thinks you got to spend more because obviously with his clients, and it is a little bit, makes you scratch your temple what's going on, that there's so many guys still unsigned as we get into pitchers and catchers reporting and right around the corner, spring training getting going for everybody. There has not been a flurry of signings. There's not been an exorbitant amount of money spent. And there are a lot of agents and players that are like, they're not happy.
No, and if I read you the list, I mean, if I just started at the top, Bautista, Jason Wirth, Jeremy Hellickson, Neil Walker, Andre Ethier, Anibal Sanchez, John Lackey, Arrieta, Cabrera, Matt Holliday. I mean, it's just Hosmer's still out there.
You could put a pretty decent team together.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. JD Martinez. I mean, I'm just trying to go through here. Lance Lynn.
Moustakas still out there?
It's crazy. Yeah, Mike Moustakas, Greg Holland.
You got a shortstop anywhere?
Escobar. Yeah, no kidding, right?
Because you can put Moustakas at third.
Danny Valencia still available?
You can put Hosmer at first.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just go, you can put J.D. Martinez.
You can put Eduardo
outfield.
Nunez. You can let Nunez play short.
There you go.
He's worth about 11 to 12 a year.
I got a team that could probably play at least 500 baseball.
It's crazy. Oh, yeah, easily with those guys.
With Arrieta and Holland and all the guys you
Bautista
could have pitching.
Hitting fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad.
That's crazy that there are that many names this late in the game. That tells you something about the economy and the market.
Well,
and teams in general.
We need to ask Jake this, but is it because the Astros have kind of shown that, look, they went from losing 100 games a year to winning a World Series, and they didn't do it by going out and spending a ton of money on free agents. So our team's like, hey, that's the new blueprint. It's a copy. Every league is a copycat league. So let's do what the Astros did. Might be. I don't know.
Might be.
You know what? You should copy me on eatinghealthygourmet.com because it's good. That's what you heard me earlier today talking about it. I'm back on the wagon trying to lose weight. Last week, I lost 8 pounds. I lost 8 pounds in 5 days. How, you ask? I ran 4 miles a day and I ate 3 healthy gourmet meals every day. And I'm not expecting you to go out and run 4 miles a day, but I tell you what, half of losing weight is your diet. And if you incorporate healthygourmet.com into your diet, you're going to start losing weight. I'm sure of it. What I want you to do is log on right now and check out the options they have. Whether you want to do vegan diet, you want to do the paleo diet, you want to do a gluten-free or low-carb, doesn't matter. It's all there and all customizable. So you're not locked into what they think you should eat. You can pick and choose what you want to eat, how you want to eat, and what meals you want. Best part is there's no prep work. There's no cleaning of dishes. None of that. You get online. You make your order. They ship it to your home. You don't even leave the house to get your food for the week. They ship it to your home. You're done. That's it. You just put your meals in the fridge and grab them on your way out to work in the morning, and you're set and ready to go. And if you get your order in before Tuesday at midnight, your meals will be there for Friday, for the weekend, and the following week. Here's what I want you to do. Log on to healthygourmet.com, get your meals together, and then when you're checking out, I want you to save 10%. So you go to the promo code and put in ESPN975. Save that 10%, and if you order $99 or more, they're going to ship it to your home for free. Why aren't you doing this? You're going to lose weight. The food tastes good. You're not going to be hungry, and you don't even have to leave the house to do all this. Healthygourmet.com. Log on today and start losing weight.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, let's talk some baseball. Half hour into the big show. And as you know, the way we like to go, we have friends of the big program, and those friends are loyal to us. We are loyal to them. And even if they change locales, from their employer perspective, we still make sure that we are with them. With that being said, Jake Kaplan, who was a mainstay and a fixture on our show last year talking baseball, is ready to do so again as he's already in West Palm and ready to start chatting it up with the Astros. He recently sat down with A.J. Hinch, as a matter of fact, but he's changed locales. You can find him at The Athletic Houston as that big program is getting underway, and maybe Jake can give us a little bit more of the backstory with Ken Rosenthal and his crew. But Jake, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and thanks for that very kind introduction. Just down here in West Palm, trying to enjoy the sun. The Astros, they start their workouts tomorrow, and typically the day before the first workout is a report day when you get to interview the players, and they all talk about how they're in the best shape of their lives and all that. But for whatever reason, the Astros decided to not open the complex to the media until the first workout tomorrow. So all I can see right now is the outside of a building.
You did have a chance to sit down and talk with A.J. Hinch, though, right? And
I did. Before he left for Florida while we were still in Houston a few days ago, had a chance to talk to the skipper, and just kind of covered an array of topics. You can find the full Q&A on The Athletic, covered a lot of the things that I think will be spring storylines or could develop into spring storylines, and among them Derek Fisher in the left field competition, where he sees Ken Giles right now, and a lot more to go with that.
What was the big takeaway? I mean, you mentioned those. For me, going into spring training, I'm interested who's the odd man out in the rotation, and what are they going to do? There's rumors now of Colin McHugh possibly be the Orioles being interested in trading for him, as well as the Twins. What's going to happen with some of these guys that are getting edged out of the 5-man rotation?
Yeah, I don't think they know the answer to that right now. I think I think my gut tells me that they will keep Colin McHugh. I'm sure they're, you know, the trade interest is interesting, but you know, no team goes a full season without using more than five starters, and especially this team. If you look at their starters, I mean, Lance McCullers has missed significant time each of the last two seasons. Dallas Keuchel's missed significant time each of the last two seasons. Charlie Morton has been injury prone his whole career. Garrett Cole pitched the full season last year, but 2 years ago was missed a good chunk of time. So, you know, between all of those, there's a good bet they're going to need not only six or seven starters, but probably eight or nine throughout the course of the 162-game season. I think they had 11 different guys start a game for them last year. So, you know, I think when they're obviously trying to win, being the reigning champions, and it would probably be different if they were, you know, rebuilding or closer to the middle. But when you're trying to win, I think that depth is more valuable than any prospect you might be able to get from the Orioles or the Twins, who are also teams that you're competing with, theoretically, in the American League. So maybe not viewed as contenders necessarily, but they are in your league, and it would be kind of, I don't know, an interesting dynamic to trade to a team that's also trying to win in the American League.
Yeah, speaking of that, MLB Network comes out today, and I think it was Mad Dog, but of course, and he's a New York guy, but everybody's saying, you know, on the program this morning, oh, how can you not say that the Yankees are the favorite in the American League? And I'm like, well, look at the Astros, and that's exactly how you can. But does this team really have any holes? I know that there was a rumor out there that they might be shopping Tucker, who we thought was untouchable, for a catcher. But is the catcher position something that they're still looking at upgrading? We know that offensively, the two guys that look alike and the two-headed monster can get it done with the bat for the most part, but defensively, throwing out runners was an issue. Is that something they're still looking to address?
I think they're fine with their catchers, or they feel fine with their catchers. I think, you know, given that Brian McCann and Evan Gattis are both free agents after the season, they're exploring, you know, potential ways to address the position long term. And that's why, you know, the report recently that they were talking to the Marlins about JT Realmuto makes sense. I don't, you know, I think probably a lot of teams are interested in JT Realmuto. He's a top five catcher in baseball, even though not a household name, but he should be. And they're not shopping Kyle Tucker, but, you know, that was reported that was the Marlins' ask in return. If that's the case, I would be surprised if the Astros did it, which, you know, obviously they haven't made a trade already, so that tells you that. But, yeah, I think, you know, more than likely they'll address their long-term needs at catcher after the season, as they did 2 years ago when they traded for McCann, via a free agent next offseason or a trade next offseason. It's not out of the realm of possibility they could make a move there, but I think, you know, now that they're in spring training, I think it's more likely that they will address that in the future.
Now, you know, fans are excited coming off of a World Series, and a lot of them probably can't wait for spring training to start and catch some games and see this team hit the field again. How much do you expect the Stars to play this spring?
Yeah, that was a topic I asked Tinch about in our Q&A. You know, he did say that he might ramp up, you know, the position guys like Springer and Correa and Altuve and Bregman a little bit slower than normal, but ultimately, he said these guys come to spring training prepared to play, and they have to prepare to play a season. So I don't think it's going to be too much different. They slow played their starting pitchers last year, even. Keuchel and McCullers were some of the last guys to get ramped up and make their spring debuts. So I would expect that to be the same this year. But ultimately, those guys will still, you know, as long as they're healthy, get four or five or six spring starts. So it won't really be much different. You know, the spring is a little bit, it's normal this year. It's not, last year was longer because of the World Baseball Classic. So it's 40 or 41 days, I think, this year. So they'll have to get after it pretty quickly. But there might be some measures in there to rest some of those guys a little bit more than you might see.
So Barry and I were talking about this before we brought you on, and we're interested to get your perspective on this. But obviously Scott Boras and other people have an issue with the fact that there are still a lot of big names out there, and it hasn't been the feeding frenzy for free agents as it has been in the past. And we said you could probably put together a pretty good lineup and pitching staff based on who's still out there. But does it surprise you, and are there any names out there that the Astros may still want to kick the tires on?
It does surprise me, or it did surprise me maybe a month ago. Now, you know, I think we kind of, once it got to a point in January where no one was signing, you could see this coming where it wouldn't be much different as spring training started. I'm sure there are guys the Astros would pounce on if the price dropped. I don't know who exactly. I think it would probably be in the lefty reliever category, although there's not really many out there. They've never seemed to be in on Tony Watson. And other than him, I mean, earlier in the offseason, I heard the idea of bringing Francisco Liriano back was still on the table. Maybe that's something they look into. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a move or didn't make a move. I think ultimately a lot of other teams will be more active with this remaining crop of free agents. There's some teams who've not even made a move or barely made moves. The Astros addressed what they wanted to address, they feel, with the Joe Smith and Hector Rondon signings and then the trade for Gerrit Cole. So you could see something happen, but I wouldn't expect it, on the Astros front.
So I think I know the answer to this, but I wanted to get it from you or get your opinion on it. Why do you think that they didn't make a move for a lefty in that bullpen when they had so little success with Sipp and Liriano last year?
Yeah, I think Jeff Luhnow has said this. I think they feel that people make too much of the lefty-righty specialists, and they think they have enough righties and can get lefties out that they'll be okay in Davinsky and Will Harris and some other guys. I would argue you still kind of need that threat of there just to, I think it helps from a tactical standpoint in-game when you just have that lefty sitting out there. They don't seem to think it's a priority right now. I mean, they could address it in July before the July 31st trade deadline like they did last year. It's not a sure thing that Tony Sipp's got a chance, believe it or not, to make this team still. So he could be their lefty. I think if everyone's healthy, I think it's more likely they open the season without a lefty. Tony Sipp could make it. Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I don't know which, I understand their thinking in that, but I don't know. I feel like having one just seems like would benefit them and kind of make them more versatile and round out their group. But, if they do feel like Davinsky and Harris and Peacock and whoever else can get lefties out, then they feel comfortable going that way, it seems.
And Giles is their guy. That's it. At the end of the bullpen, it is Giles right now?
Yeah, until he gives them a reason to think otherwise. AJ Hinch said last week that he's earned the right to come into camp as their closer, and obviously that could change. I think they're going to put the playoffs. Obviously they have to keep it in mind, but if they look at the whole sample size of the year, he still was pretty good. So, if he gives them a reason to not trust them anymore, then that's a huge storyline to follow, and that'll be something we're writing about constantly and asking about. But Giles is a notoriously slow starter in April. He's been kind of, I think he was a little bit better last April, but the 2 Aprils ago, his first with the Astros, he was pretty terrible. So it'll be interesting to watch. I don't know if we'll learn much in spring about that. That's more of a regular season thing at this point. The spring stats to me are irrelevant.
Jake, I'm curious to what you think about their closer situation. When you see guys like Greg Holland still available or even a Trevor Rosenthal as an insurance policy, do they have this an insurance policy on staff that they're comfortable with, like Smith?
I think Smith's a guy.
I don't think they're going to go after Greg Holland. They have never been in on any of these guys who have the draft pick compensation attached. Which Greg Holland does. And also, if you look at Greg Holland's year, I mean, Ken Giles was better than Greg Holland last year. Greg Holland had a terrible second half. I think they probably view a bunch of guys who could fill that. And I think first in my mind is probably Will Harris. If Giles falters, maybe Davinsky. Kind of depends which of those guys pitches well. Both of them had some shakier injury-filled second halves. Joe Smith, Hector Rondon has closed in the past. Brad Peacock got a save in the World Series. So who knows? I mean, it could be any of those guys if Giles were to struggle. But, I don't think they view it as an issue right now. Obviously, it could become one. And I do think there is a little bit of, people tend to overrate the importance of the closer's role, in my opinion. I think, you know, you need a deep group of relievers who can get outs. You know, the closer might end up facing the 7, 8, 9 hitters in the ninth, and the biggest out came 2 innings before when the guy had second and third and faced Mike Trout, you know. So, but they definitely need to make sure Giles is the version they had for the summer and not the fall. And if not, they'll have to make a change.
There you have it, man. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Look forward to catching up with you throughout the season. You can find him at Jake M. Kaplan on Twitter. And again, it's at The Athletic. And so it's theathletic.com as Ken Rosenthal and his baseball staff is spreading out. And Jake has spread his wings to join the flock. So Jake, appreciate you spending some time and have fun down there in West Palm.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
There you go. Jake Kaplan following the Astros on a daily basis, and that's why you get the best information right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll be back with more right here on The Usual Suspects.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on the first hour of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, all present and accounted for, and you as well. We've been having some app problems, I guess, but Nick has checked into it, and he is able to log on and get it. Hopefully that doesn't affect the amount of commercials, because some of you are also saying there's a lot of commercials, but we just went long with Jake Kaplan, so I think we're good. It just depends on the method that you're obtaining the show at this point.
Yes. Well, you know, I asked for ladies to tell us what their horrible Valentine's gifts were. Tracy Cowley tweeted us and said, "I'm not a big Valentine's girl, but my ex got me gummy bears as a gift and a card with the word aunt scratched out and input wife on it."
I mean, what type of gummy bears are we talking
about? Your kind of gummy bears that you make. Just regular ass gummy bears.
Okay, then she's entitled to be very pissed.
Like the kind that you get
right now
that are made in, what is it, like Korea or whatever, the ones that give you diarrhea if you eat the whole bag. I wonder if it was that one. That would be bad.
Yeah, what is that?
They're made with the sweetener that like jack your stomach up. Have you seen those videos, by the way, online? Mm-mm. Oh, like Google gummy bears stomach, I guess. I don't know. On YouTube.
I don't know if I want to do that.
They're not the Haribo or whatever they're called.
Yeah, see, that's the good kind.
Yeah, but there's ones that are made with like a sweetener, and it's an artificial sweetener, and if you eat the whole pack, it will jack. You will spin. You remember the scene in Dumb and Dumber when they're at the fancy party and he got slipped X-lax and he's on the toilet?
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember
that.
That's
what it will do to you. There's video of guys that are crying, like literal tears coming out of their eyes. It hurts so bad.
Well,
so hopefully it wasn't
Lisa
those.
Was a huge gummy bear fan her whole life.
Yeah, I got to find these. But I'll get the name of them.
But as always, she just goes for the good stuff. And she hasn't, believe me, like if I suggest the wrong ones, she will do the back of the hand slap kind of thing. She knows what she wants and she attacks it. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so that's pretty bad for Tracy. Gummy bears in a card with the word ant scratched out?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I got to agree with that.
She said reason number 8,321,678 that he's now my ex. Yeah, I guess so.
That makes a lot of sense, too, by the way. Nick, you got Valentine's Day plans?
No, I do not, a-hole.
Just wow. Asking, man.
Oh, look, it is. There's been a lot of talk on the internet about the Haribo sugar-free gummy bears and how they make you bleep like a madman.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a twofold win. You get to taste gummy bears, and if you need some kind of laxative, you got that built right in.
Yeah, apparently they'll jack you up like you're like they. It hurts your stomach. Like you, like you ever had cramps?
Oh yeah, those are the worst.
No, it's like that, but literally gut wrenching. So don't the Haribo or Haribo or
Haribo,
however,
right?
Haribo, yeah. I sound like Harry Carey trying to pronounce Hideki Haribo.
Hey.
Haribo. Haribo, Haribo.
Hideki, he's from Asia and he hits. Forget it.
Yeah, those will mess you up, so don't get those.
Okay.
That's all we've had though so far for bad Valentine's gifts.
We need more.
Yeah, I want more.
How about this Astrodome thing, by the way? Where are you on it? Because I was going to say, I'm not from here, and I do know you guys are both from here. From the time I got here, the Oilers were still here. I knew about the Dome. I saw baseball and football there. It wasn't the eighth wonder of the world anymore at that point, but I do know what it looks like now. I do know who lives in there from a rodent perspective, and I've been told they're bigger than cats. And,
yeah.
And to me, I'm done with it. I understand all the different things and all the ideas. I've seen the malls and all the different and the glass-walled smaller venue for sports. You've got all of that with NRG Park and all the different buildings you have there. And the one thing you don't have is a pay lot for parking. So knock it down. Make it a black. Make it a parking lot. Don't spend $105 million of city money from taxpayers that could be spent in other places. And just move on. It's lasted way too long. And the building is just... it's dilapidated.
Well, my initial reaction was, with all the money that they plan to spend, with $105 million, that surely they could spend that around the city to help alleviate some of the flooding issues that this fine city has. Mm-hmm. Once I really read the article, though, and the details about where the money is coming from, two-thirds of the $105 million is coming from hotel taxes and rental car taxes, which would not be used... or could be used for flood prevention or remedies for flooding. So what you're really talking about is they're using a third of the money out of the county purse that could otherwise be focused on flooding and whatnot, which is still a lot of money. I mean, about 34 million dollars that could be focused on helping some of these cities and even in that area, maybe, or, you know, down south. I don't know. There's a lot you could do with that money as opposed to turn this into another. Don't we have the George R. Brown Convention Center? Why do we need another convention center? Is that not big enough? And here's the thing. They said, oh, well, the rodeo says that this would be great because they can only fit 200 booths right now or 300 booths in the rodeo, and they've got a waiting list of 200. Guess what? Not the taxpayers' problem, because the taxpayers don't make any money off the rodeo. As last I checked, the rodeo doesn't pay. You know who pays that? Higher property taxes is paying for all that. Property taxes is going to be part of that, and that's where a third of that comes from. And if you think the citizens of this county want to pay a lot of money so that the rodeo can make more money, I don't know why they would want that.
And the other thing is they're saying the other things that they would profit from making the Dome a revenue stream again, is it would all go to the county, too. The county would do the booking, and the county would get the money.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, the county gets the money, but the people aren't going to see it.
Right.
They're not going to lower property taxes now because they're making money off the Dome. That's not going to happen. Remember when they put the toll roads in and we were never supposed to pay tolls after a certain time? I don't think that the citizens of this county are going to fall for that again, where this is going to be some windfall for the citizens of this county. Property taxes ain't going down. And just get rid of the damn thing. Just get rid of it.
Exactly where I'm at.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when I was looking at the numbers and looking at like Twitter, and the obvious reaction or the first reaction is, well, you could use that money for something like the flooding issue. And to my understanding, it's somewhere in the ballpark of $35 million that could really help with the flooding issues that the city of Houston has. But then I was looking at the numbers of what it would cost to demolish it, and it would probably be about the same price. So according to an article in 2012. $78 million to demolish it. $10 million of it is included for the asbestos cleanup. Another $10 million would be included to put another plaza on it. And that didn't include the $29 million that is owed for the Astrodome. And that was in 2012. So I can see why this is kind of a cop-out decision, but a decision between two situations where, well, we can pay over $100 million or about the same price to demolish it and it'd be nothing, or we upgrade it and make it into another venue.
The number I saw to demolish it was $27 million.
No, it's $78 million to demolish it.
Well, in the Chronicle article that came out today, they said $27 million or thereabouts, 24 or 25, something like that.
$27 million to demolish it, or yeah. Is that what they owed?
To demolish it.
Yeah, well, the article I saw said 78.
Well,
yeah.
Either way, you've got it cost 110 or something like that, $1,000 a year just to maintain it, but at the end of the day, there was a bond referendum not too long ago that the citizens of the county voted on that would have been able to convert the Astrodome into something, and they voted against it.
Right.
So, which was if you talk about what do the people want, they told you what they want. They don't want the Astrodome to be renovated.
And at least when you knock it down and you talk about how many parking spaces it would create and that cash is coming in for every event that's coming in anyway, you still would have revenue coming in. And you know they'd charge $20 a car or more. At the same time, it doesn't cost you all that extra exorbitant amount of money to reconstruct, remodel, rebuild, and try and recreate the dome again in some kind of new, more modern way to do what you already have.
Here's a quote from the article. The two major tenants of Energy Park who commissioned a study in 2013 to estimate the cost of demolishing the building, which it concluded was about $29 million.
And I'm looking at an article from the Chronicle in 2012 that says it cost 78. So there's a little bit of conflict here.
Well, that's who did that study, though?
It's by the Chronicle.
No, but, I mean, the Chronicle says that, but do they say, was it a study? Were they estimating?
Was it a third-party contractor?
I doubt. I mean, 20, that just seems way too cheap to demolish a venue that big, $29 million.
I don't know.
That seems super cheap.
Assuming you recycle all of the metal and...
I mean, they've gotten rid of a lot of it. Remember, they sold all the seats and the turf and stuff.
I don't know if they got rid of all of
it. It's a shell now. It's a shell of what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I would have wallpapered my garage with the turf, but it didn't work out.
Put it on your garage floor. It might be kind of cool.
Or maybe some golf.
This is where so-and-so blew his knee out.
Yeah, I'm going to hit a couple of wedges from here.
Just pick a name, yeah.
All right, 1 hour in the books. Excuse me. 2 hours to go, the big show. Don't go anywhere because we've got plenty more to talk about. We can talk about this dome issue. You can talk about your bad Valentines and talk about so much more. It's a Way Back Wednesday tomorrow, too. We're working on a theme. Obviously, for some of you, it's going to be lovey-dovey, and for others of you, it's going to be Love Stinks by the Jay Giles Band. So we'll figure that out along the way as well. But if you want to participate, please do. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Chris, we see you. We're coming back. We'll get to you. Usual Suspects, hour number two on the way, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.